This morning, we read God's word from Paul's letter to the Colossian church, starting with verse 1 of chapter 2. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who may not have met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by the fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. If you read carefully the letters of Paul to the various churches that he wrote to, or the individuals that sometimes received letters from Paul, you find out some very basic things about who Paul was. We know that he was a great evangelist, a traveling missionary that visited city after city and proclaimed the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus to anyone who was willing to listen. He's been known as the apostle to the Gentiles because he, more than any other first century disciple of Jesus, brought the good news to people who were not Jewish. But one of the things that we also learn when we read in the letters of Paul, the content of what he is describing in these letters, is that Paul had a pastor's heart. He is a man who comes across as genuinely caring for and loving the people of God in the various churches, whether he had established those churches personally or whether he was simply visiting or writing to churches that others had begun. The man, Paul, had done a great deal to share the love of Jesus with others. But he saw the need not just to introduce people to life in Christ, but to bring to them the challenge of growing up in their walk with Jesus. To not remain at that point of spiritual infancy, but to grow beyond that and to expand their understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him as his disciples. Paul's love for the Colossian Christians comes across clearly in the words that we have read this morning. Among the things Paul says is, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. He did struggle intensely in prayer and even in physically coming to and visiting the various churches that were part of his area of concern for the spiritual well-being of these people. And so it was Paul's practice to try to bring encouragement and strength and to build up these believers at the various stages of spiritual growth which they found themselves in. Some of those Christians had walked with the Lord for several years. Some of them were brand new in the faith. But at whatever point they found themselves, Paul wanted them to grow beyond that present level of maturity into a deeper level of understanding of Jesus. And that's why he mentions how important it is to know the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge that come from a deepening understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus asks of us as we seek to grow in our faith and to become the people, the mature followers of Jesus that he desires for each of us to be. In each of the letters that Paul wrote to those early Christians in the churches or even to the individuals to whom he wrote, he made it clear that every follower of Jesus, every disciple of Christ, is a work in progress. We are on that journey toward spiritual maturity, but we're not there yet. We, however long we may have walked with Christ, have further to go in our discipleship to the Lord. And so Paul does everything that he can to enhance that process of growing by bringing encouragement and instruction to the Christians of his generation and ours. Every Christian, regardless of our circumstances, is expected to grow in his or her faith. Even though Paul doesn't use that specific language as he writes to this church in Colossae, it seems pretty obvious that he must have seen evidence of that kind of growing and faith deepening that was so encouraging to him. That's why he says in verse 5, I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. What do you think Paul means when he says, I delight in seeing how orderly you are? That seems a bit unusual. It's maybe for that reason of being a somewhat unexpected comment that word orderly sort of jumped out of the passage for me as I was studying it over these past days. And I suppose the reason for that word becoming significant for me is that even though I have been here just a fairly brief time in this interim role as pastor, you maybe have come to know already about me that I am a fairly orderly person. I am a structured individual when it comes to getting things lined up and accomplished in an orderly way. I suppose if you have any doubts about that, you can ask my wife or you can ask any of the church staff. They will affirm that that is sort of how I am wired. That orderliness, however, that Paul is talking about doesn't have anything to do with to-do lists or structuring your calendar in such a way that you can get all of the things accomplished that you would like to get done on a given day or in a given week. What Paul is commending these Christians in Colossae about is that their orderliness had everything to do with how they were structuring their life in relationship to each other, how they were living in a loving relationship to the people around them. Paul was commending them for respecting each other, for filling that body of Christ in the local church of Colossae with love and a full appreciation for each other. I don't think it would be stretching the meaning of the word to suggest that one of the signs of spiritual growth among those Christians to whom Paul was writing was that they were living in an obviously healthy, loving relationship with fellow believers. They were living in such a way that they were giving strong evidence in the community of which they were a part that this was a body bound together, not just going it alone in their journey of faith, but connected to one another as brothers and sisters in the faith. Have you ever considered that one of the great ways we have by which we can measure our growth in our spiritual walk with Jesus is by observing how orderly we are in our relationship to each other? When we love and respect our fellow believers, we are showing the local body here in this setting, but the community at large as well, that our faith in Christ is firm, which is the point at which Paul encourages those Christians to continue to live in Christ, rooted and built up in Him. If I were to take an informal survey of those of us here this morning, I am fairly confident that most of us here would be able to identify one or more psalms that are favorites of ours that we look to in times of joy or distress or discouragement or grief or whatever the circumstances of our life are at that moment. There are psalms that speak to those specific areas of emotional life that we experience. One of my favorite psalms is the very first psalm, which uses the analogy of a tree planted by streams of water. A tree that has its root system deeply embedded in the soil to draw nourishment from the soil and to flourish in such a way that it's possible for that tree to produce healthy fruit. The psalmist uses that image of a firmly rooted tree to bring to mind the same basic truth that Paul is writing about to these Colossian Christians. It's a psalm, and these are verses from the New Testament that speak to the fact that we, as followers of Christ, are to grow deep roots. We are to live our lives in such a way that our faith is deepening and strengthening as time goes by. So the basic question for us to consider this morning is, how deep is your root system? How deep is that system of being rooted in Christ that you established when you came to Him by faith? Does your walk with Jesus show evidence that you are growing in your faith? Or is it hard to detect very much change at all from 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago? Has your spiritual life plateaued so that it is basically the same and is unchanged from month to month or even year to year? A few Sundays ago, if you were in church, you may remember that I preached a sermon about Jesus teaching on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds were so intense and pressing up to the shoreline so greatly that Jesus got into Peter and Andrew's boat. They went out a little bit off the shore so that he could teach from the boat, and when that teaching time was ended, Jesus invited Peter and Andrew to go out into the deep water and to let down their nets for a catch. And the result of the obedience of those two fishermen in doing what Jesus had asked of them was that they hauled in such a tremendous catch of fish that their boat and their partner's boat were both filled to the point of almost sinking under the weight of all of those fish. Going into deep water, I suggested that Sunday, has something to do with growing in our walk with Jesus, of following Him even into uncomfortable situations. It basically, I believe, is similar to what Paul is saying in these verses about growing deep in our faith as a person who wants to grow in our walk with Jesus. What are the signs of a strong spiritual root system? Is there a way that we can measure whether our faith is growing or deepening, or if it has stagnated and staying pretty much close to the surface and really pretty shallow? I think in this passage, Paul offers us a few words of instruction that help to measure where we are on this journey of faith that we are a part of. In verse 7, Paul suggests that one way that we can measure the depth of our faith is found in the truths of God that we have been taught over the years. Maybe it seems so obvious that it shouldn't even be necessary to mention it, but the fact is that growing deep roots in the Lord begins by taking in learning of what God has for us through His Word. Learning and applying His Word to our lives is one of the most basic ways by which we grow and become deeper in our root system. How are you doing in that area
of your discipleship? Do you have a fuller and deeper understanding of God's word today than you did at some point in the past? Is your awareness of how God is speaking through his word increasing because of your familiarity with and your desire to grow in your application of scripture in your daily walk with him? Are you involved in a small group study that you, together with other brothers and sisters in faith, are growing together as you share insights from God's word with one another? When I was pastor of the congregation down in Red Wing a few years ago, I was teaching a weekly Bible study with a group from our church, but also several others from other churches that were a part of that study as well. And one of the women who was a part of that study was not from First Covenant in Red Wing. She was from one of the other local churches, and she was 90 years old when she started attending this Bible study. She mentioned to one of her friends from that group that this was the first time in her life that she had ever been involved in an intentional group Bible study. Each time she was there, not perhaps every time, but consistently through the times that she would be there in that study, she would make comments about, "Oh, I never knew that. Oh, that's what that means." And she was eagerly absorbing things that she had not understood or learned previously. I think she offers a great example of the fact that it's never too late to begin learning and to begin growing in our faith with Jesus, even at a point of life when many would say, well, it's beyond time when you can really do that. In her life, she was a young baby in Jesus who was eager to grow even at the age of 90. Paul tells us that all of us should desire to be strengthened in the faith as we were taught, which implies that we need to be willing to be students of the word and learn from either our own individual study or learn in cooperation with other Christians what God's word has for us. But what we learn is even more important than just the fact that we're absorbing new information. In verse 8, Paul warns those Christians in Colossae against those who were trying to take them captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. There were all sorts of false teachings that were a part of the first century church culture. And sadly, those false teachings did not disappear a couple thousand years ago. They are alive and well in the 21st century church as well. Today, we are confronted with a whole mixture of philosophies that sound reasonable and helpful, but when you dig a little bit under the surface, you discover that they are really opposed to what the New Testament is teaching on a given subject, which is absolute truth. So growing deep roots demands that we use good judgment and discernment about what it is that we are taking in and absorbing and applying to our lives. In verse 7, Paul talked about overflowing with thankfulness. And it seems as basic as that is to spiritual life, that having a spirit of thankfulness is also a way of helping to measure our growth in the Lord. It seems that having a thankful heart is such a small thing. How could that possibly be significant enough to be considered an indicator of our root system, of our depth of walking with Christ in our faith journey? But as you read through Scripture and the New Testament in particular, you find over and over again the admonition of being thankful in our circumstances. In Colossians, the third chapter, just one chapter further into this letter,
Paul admonishes the Christians to be thankful. In Hebrews, we find the same admonition of let us be thankful. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of give thanks to God for what he has done. And perhaps one of the more familiar passages in the New Testament comes from 1 Thessalonians, in which Paul admonishes those believers to give thanks in every circumstance. Paul seems to be saying that having a heart overflowing with thankfulness is a basic part of who we are as disciples of Jesus, and that as we measure our thankfulness or our grumbling spirit, we can help measure, at least to a certain extent, the depth of our root system. I'm sure that it doesn't come as any great shock to be reminded of the fact this morning that developing a strong spiritual root system is not automatic. It doesn't just happen without any discipline or effort on our parts. It requires a commitment to stand firm in our faith as we daily seek to live in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Just as any living plant needs a nourishment system, just as that plant or that tree or that bush, whatever it might be, needs a root system that will be able to draw up nourishment from the soil and be exposed to the sunshine and receive water when the rains come, so in a similar way, do we need the same type of regular nourishment so that we don't wither up and die? Our spirits struggle sometimes to find the time and to make the effort to sink our roots into the soil that God provides us in Christ. But at the very end of the passage, Paul says something else that we need to take note of, which is, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. I'm guessing that as we were reading that passage earlier this morning, we got to that particular verse, and maybe there were some here who thought, what in the world does that have to do with anything that we've just been reading? Why is it that Paul just seems to switch gears completely by bringing up that subject? It would not be hard to make a case for the fact that Paul seems to be switching gears and changing completely into a different subject altogether, but as I've reflected on these verses, I really don't think that's the case. I think that Paul is sort of wrapping up his conclusions with one other aspect of spiritual growth, which has to do with wrestling with difficult theological questions from time to time. He is saying, essentially, that those Colossian Christians needed to grow up spiritually in the sense that they look at various teachings that may or may not be floating around that particular city that have to do with the person of Jesus. What he was saying essentially is that Christ, Jesus, is God in the flesh, and anything other than that is heresy. Paul is teaching those Christians that even when there are difficult biblical truths to comprehend, it's not beyond us to do that. It's not beyond our ability to make those assessments of what is biblically true and what is not. Those early followers of Jesus, living in a city called Colossae, had learned the importance of growing, of sinking their roots deeply into the soil of God's truth. They were people who Paul observed even from a distance as having established a healthy and nurturing root system. The same is true for us, my friends. The same measurement is a part of our walk with Jesus as we seek to grow up in our spiritual understanding. Growing deep and strong roots as followers of Jesus is never easy, but it is possible. In fact, this is the standard that the Apostle Paul sets for us as we read not only these verses, but so many other places in the letters that he wrote to the early church. His desire for those Christians in Colossae and Christ's desire for each of us here this morning is that we will one day be fully developed, mature disciples of Jesus in whatever role he calls us to live out in this world. So, my friends, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning recognizing that there are times in our life when we don't grow very much, when our roots seem pretty shallow, and maybe we even are feeling like we are withering because of our shallow roots. Lord, we pray that you would bring us encouragement, that you would help us even in the days of this new week to look to you more consistently for your Spirit's help in our walk with you, that we might commit ourselves to spending time in your word and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ and growing in our loving relationships with each other. So bless us, we pray, in all of those ways. We ask it in the name of our living Savior, Jesus. Amen.